Nowadays, when you visit a health clinic in the United States, and I don't know the Canadian health system, but when you walk in a health clinic in the United States, the first questions that you are asked is, do you feel anxious about a lot of things? Or have you been worrying the last 6 months? Or do you feel restless or easily tired or trouble concentrating, trouble with sleeping? Do you feel depressed? I think it's not an overstatement that in our postmodern culture is marked by joylessness, a society that is marked by stress and anxiety and worries, particularly among our young people, loneliness. Well, joy, in fact, is fundamental to the human existence and well-being, eh? True joy, biblical joy. Is it not one of the purposes of your and my life? So it is confessed in the Westminster Catechism. It opens, what is the chief purpose for which man is made? For which you and I have been made. The chief purpose for which man is made is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We are created for enjoyment, to rejoice, to have joy. It is one of the practices of experiences of the new spiritual life. So, in fact, we confess with the Heidelberg Catechism, eh? I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. Young people, that is that moment when the Lord works that grace in your heart. A sincere joy, the Catechism reminds us. A sincere joy of heart in God through Christ. And true joy is one of the first and foremost results of preaching, of gospel preaching. Isaiah 61 captured that so well. When the good news is brought, also this morning. The good news, to bind up broken-hearted. Also this morning in our midst. Giving liberty to captives. When you struggle with addiction. Comforts for all who mourn. What more? Joy. Joy instead of mourning. Now why is it then, and it is a very general statement, why is it then that conservative, confessional, reformed people have this reputation of being relatively joyless? How do you account for the fact that Calvinism in general has this reputation as a relatively joyless tradition? And we are part of a postmodern culture where it seems that the very idea of joy is missing. And joyful devotional life. Well, Scripture is full of joy, commended as part of the Christian life. So the question for all of us this morning, whatever we have brought into church this morning, I don't know you as a congregation, I don't know what is going on, but the question for you and me is, do you have joy in your life? Do you have biblical joy? Do you know that joy by grace? And therefore, in the first place, I want to look to Scripture. What is joy? Biblical joy. What is it? Now, joy is a frequent theme in Scripture. And consistently associated with salvation. As you see in the Psalms, in the Prophets, in the Gospels, in Paul's Epistles. As we will also look this morning to Romans 5. In the book of Psalms, joy is a response of gratitude to God's saving work. For example, Psalm 32, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Psalm 35, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. Psalm 95, so often cited as a call to worship. Oh, come to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, with gratitude, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. We can find it in the book of the prophets. For example, Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. Can you say that? God is my salvation. I trust in the Lord. Not be afraid. Jehovah is my strength, my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, and that is the reason, with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. When was it the last time, congregation, when you draw water of the wells of salvation? Joy is a response to God-given salvation, to God's deliverance. But going to the Gospels, the New Testament, the Gospel according to John, for example, joy is often related to the union with Christ. And John writes, these things I have spoken to you, says Christ, that my joy might remain in you, union with Him, and that your joy may be full. And last not but least, we find a theme of joy in Paul's epistles, joining joy and peace together on several occasions as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you look, for example, in the epistle to the Philippians, the epistle of joy, 4 chapters only, and the apostle records over at least 16 times the word joy, as he mentioned the word Christ many more times, because joy is found in Christ. It is part and parcel of the Christian experience. Maybe we have forgotten that. Yeah. In Galatians, for example, we find joy as one of the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And so the epistle to the Romans. Romans 15, for example. Now the God of hope fills you with joy and peace in believing. That you abound in hope through the power of the Spirit. Or Romans 12, rejoice in hope. And so in our text chapter this morning, chapter 5, verse 2, we have read it. Rejoice, have joy in hope of the glory of God. And verse 11, joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have this joy, congregation? Was there a time when the Lord revealed Himself, revealed Christ to you, a sinner? God's salvation. That there is joy. That you know something, you have put gladness, joy in my heart. For you, Lord, does make me dwell in safety. Is there this joy in Christ who accomplished salvation? And that for such one as you are, full and free. As our text chapter says, verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of Christ. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His grace. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And rejoice in the hope. Do you have that joy? Congregation, next week, if the Lord gives us, is the Lord's table. The table of the covenant. And when you have received a place by grace on that table, do you have that joy? Or have we forgotten that joy in the Lord. What Horatius Bonar once wrote, I praise the God of grace, I trust his truth and might. He calls me his, I call him mine, my God, my joy and light. And people, see, as Lewis once wrote, joy is a serious business of heaven. And therefore, in light of God's word, do not walk away from the mirror of his word and forget that the word teaches us to do in life. Not only be hearers of the word, but also be doers of joy. That is the invitation also this morning, to have this experience of joy in your life, biblical joy in God, in Christ. That first. This reminder for all of us. Maybe we have forgotten, but we need it, eh? We need it. And therefore, in the second place, why we need joy? Why do we need joy in our life? Because, congregation, first, by nature we have lost all joy. And God's word is very honest, deals very honest with us this morning. Verse 8, while we were yet sinners. Verse 9, under the wrath of God. Verse 10, when we were enemies. Verse 12, by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. No one excluded here this morning. Eh? You are not better than anyone else. In fact, when you read the preceding chapters 1 to 3 of the book of Romans, it makes it very clear. We utterly miss by nature joy. When you read, for example, chapter 3, maybe you can do this afternoon, this chapter 3, the verses 9 to 18, it is our portrait by nature, completely joyless. It reminds us, there is no one righteous. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. And the way of peace we have not known. And young people, all the pleasures we give ourselves in life are often substitutes for joy. Congregation, friends, created for joy. We choose sin and sorrow, death, not life. Living outside paradise, living outside Christ, living outside of God's presence. Do you begin to see your great need for joy? For all the miseries we have plunged ourselves. Second, why we need joy. In times of hardship. When there are trials and testings in your life. Maybe sufferings. Or maybe the constant juggling of finances. Or life's struggles. Doubts. Ill health. When there are sporadic spurts of joy and to cling to hope. When there is absence of joy in your life, maybe in marriage or relationships or your work, or that you deal with depression, burdens, and it seems too heavy to bear. When you feel at loss at times, lost purpose. I read in the sermon preparation of one who said, I had everything. A home, a loving spouse, two beautiful daughters, financial security. For years, this life was welcome. My life was uncomfortably predictable. I knew what was going to happen next. Every moment, every day. But over time, I felt at lost purpose, lost in the midst of my marriage, the busyness of life, and I became depressed. Those times in life when sorrow grips and presses and brings pain to the heart. When the darkness seems not to lift. times that you begin to understand the psalmist, from the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. And this brings me to a third reason why we need a God-given joy. Does not David write in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Restore. He knew this joy before. But now he did not experience as before. And restore because of his sin, as we learn from Psalm 51. When we trust something other than God. When we lose our contentment in God. When you stop listening to God. And maybe that is the reason why you have a joyless life. Because of your sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit, so we confess in the canons of Dort, you interrupt the exercise of faith, you grievously wound your conscience. Is that still the experience when you sin and have sinned? And that you experience sometimes you lose the sense of God's favor for a time? And then to experience that yet the Lord preserves us, the works of his hands. This is how we started this morning. That the cry of the heart come, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Nothing else can satisfy, but the joy to be in his presence, the joy of his salvation. And friends, that is not only available, but it is offered this morning, generous, graciously this morning. Therefore, our third point, when is no joy received? When is that joy now received? Because we read in Romans 5, beginning verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And it continues in verse 10, if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Rejoice, have joy in your life, because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified. Joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are reconciled, we were saved, we have received atonement. Joy is a marker of a justified person, received by faith. Joy is experience, a lived experience, when one is translated into spiritual life. When you are, young people, when you are converted. And for some that can be very sudden, and for others that can be in great terror of the law, or others maybe in great calmness in evangelical manner, that is when Christ overwhelms your soul. Or so as one of the Puritans wrote, the sweetness of the gospel fills your soul, that you have no time to think upon your sins with terror. And for some others, the Lord works in a quiet manner. You see your sin. You hear the offer of the gospel. You see Christ, who is altogether lovely. You turn to him, take refuge in him. You look to him, you long for him, you yearn for him, hungry and thirsty. Christ is precious to you. And you hear his voice, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. So that you may say by grace, this is my beloved, this is my friend. And whatever the Lord, whatever way the Lord has with you, this is shared. Joy. Yes, in the beginning of conversion, sorrow and joy can be mixed. This mixture of sorrow over sin and the joy of Christ. Do we still know this? The bitterness of sin and the sweetness of Christ. But experience that unspeakable, inexpressible goodness of the Lord that gives joy, this undeserved, amazing wonder of grace. Do you know? When was it the last time? Because enemies are reconciled. Not pious people. Enemies are reconciled. The experience by grace, sins are forgiven. But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Atonement that is to cover your sins with his blood. It has been forgiven and forgotten. The Lord says in his word, I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. No more. That is the Lord's dealing with his people. To experience something, his blood cleanses you from all your sins. If you take a refuge in him. Maybe you have heard the gospel preaching Sunday after Sunday from this pulpit, as it is preached Sunday after Sunday from this pulpit. Maybe it is the last time. Last week I was preaching in Hamilton, and Saturday afternoon, unexpected, someone passed away in the area. Unexpected. Healthy man, vigorous, active, 63, suddenly. Congregation, have you taken refuge in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know something of the no more? That gives a joy, congregation, an unspeakable joy. Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly is godless, destitute from a reverential childlike fear. This amazing wonder of amazing grace. Congregation, never get used to it. Kind of, oh, that is what we are used to about gospel preaching. No. Amazing wonder of grace. Hey, young people, maybe you know the song, Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Also your sins. Lamentable falls and failures. But that you may testify with joy. Testify by his grace. Here in the death of Christ, I live. This joy, he for me. When you have those moments, that is a joy that passes all understanding. Friends, when was it the last time? When was it the last time? Or do you go through the motions? Oh, we are used to. We are freely formed. We come Sunday morning. We come Sunday afternoon. Or is there still this experience in your life? A joy that passes all understanding. What Christ has done for such one as you are. And Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, whom you have not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Do you have that? Do you have that joy? This is also experienced in that continuing work of grace. In serving the Lord with fear and childlike fear and rejoice in trembling, so says Psalm 2. In times of repentance, Christ says that repentance brings joy. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Luke 15. When was it the last time that there was joy? When there was joy in heaven over you? Because you repent. When was it the last time that there was joy in heaven over you? Over me. Because my repentance. Yes, but one says, but my sin. I wrote in a 17th century work of a pastor. He said, falling into sin motivates the believer not to remain there, but to rise again and cheerfully to persevere, as it always affords free access to the throne of grace. As the apostle writes, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And yes, that faith can be challenged, can be weak, can be struggling, can be refuge taking. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with a pure water. Let us draw near. And therefore this pastor goes on, do not condemn yourself if God justifies you. Meaning, if you cannot deny the Lord's work in your heart. When, Lord willing, next week you will receive a place as the Lord's table. Do not condemn yourself. To do so would be to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. This would be despising the merits of Christ. To do this would be to bring anguish upon yourself, since the Lord does not cause you to grieve. This would be an unnecessary loss of joy. Yeah. Remember, congregation, Christ's work is a complete and finished work. And he offers that freely, generously, and graciously more. It is a free gift if you read verse 15 and onwards. This grace of God, the gift of his grace, which by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And so by the righteousness of one, Christ, the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. And therefore the gospel invitation can go out this morning. Come unto me. Come unto me. Maybe you, who is burdened with sin and shortcomings. Maybe laden with anxieties and worries. Maybe you are sitting here with distress, with cares and concerns. Maybe you are troubled with sorrows. Maybe having a life that misses joy. Come unto me, says this loving Savior. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Rest for your anxious soul, young people. To be reminded this morning, nothing has to be added. Nothing should be added. And nothing can be added. Is that your joy? Christ and him alone? So that you may say, we also, O wonder of grace, joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As one songwriter wrote, Jesus, thou art the center of my joy. All that is good and perfect comes from thee. Thou art the heart of my contentment, the hope for all I do. Jesus, thou art the center of my life. So far we have seen what is joy in the Bible. Why we need joy, and we need it desperately, friends. And how it can be received for Christ's sake. And so our last point, how to live in and with joy. Because congregation, moral reformation comes by looking at the rules and conforming to it. But spiritual transformation comes to looking to Christ. This looking, this standing, this gazing, this meditating in awe and wonder of undeserved grace, mercy and forgiveness. And therefore, despite who I was, my past, and therefore despite who I am, my present, but being justified by faith as the apostle, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is the apostles' joy and rejoicing, reflecting and meditating on what Christ has done for such one as you and I are. Not making a list what we have to do and not to do in living with this joy. But it is as with the Psalmist of 43, then I will go to the altar of God, to the God of my exceeding joy. Of what Christ has done, that only sacrifice, sufficient for the sins of the whole world, sufficient for your and my sin. This experience, not only for others, but also for me. Do we still know that wonder? That is my joy, this lived experience. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy who was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking to him. That is first and foremost how to live with joy. Your identity is in him. And therefore, congregation, meditate and reflect on, consider that first and daily on Christ, who endured with patience, perseveringly the cross, when he hung there and said, Father, forgive them, so that you can be forgiven for his sake. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that you are never forsaken by him. When he was despised, disdained, ashamed, disgraced, and that for whom? Meditate also on that every day. You did not deserve anything. And yet God gave everything that he had his son. Who exchanged the glory and joy that he had with the Father before the world was. And he accepted the cross and the blame, the wrath of God over your sins. Humbled himself. Became obedient to that, even the death of the cross. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. So that you, through his poverty, might become rich. May you meditate upon that, that humbles and lifts you up and shapes your life with a deep and a lasting joy and longs for more. Christ endured all of this for the joy that was set before him. For the joy seeing each of his children, for their sake, for their salvation, for their situation they are even in now. His heart was set on them. Congregation, friends, what then are your trials and compared to his agonies? What then are your and my struggles compared to his sufferings? He endured all the suffering for the joy that was set before him, in view of the honor which he would have at the right hand of God. Meditate often on the risen and living Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, where he continues and cares for your interest, where he is your advocate in the presence of the Father, where he pleads and intercedes for each of his children, even now. Whatever situations that you have brought into his church, if you cannot deny his grace, he pleads and intercedes for you. And that he prepares there a place for each of his children. Does that not give you joy? Does that not give you a perspective in life? This knowledge, not only what he has done for you, but what he still does and what he will do. And therefore, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. And maybe your challenging circumstances and your current difficulties are not changing, materially or physically, but having this unspeakable joy, reading his word, even in the most difficult moments of your life. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, experienced, your words were found and I did eat them. Your word was in me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Joy amidst sadness and sorrows. When you are stressed and confused and don't know where to go or what to do, we still can be joyful knowing that God is in control. Even when you are sad or upset or worried, we still can have this joy. And not just a joy, but joy in the Lord. A joy that he knows who we are and where we are, what circumstances, even when it is not going the way we think. And instead of trying to be happy, let us be joyful. Friends, it produces better results than happiness. And God-given joy is a happiness with gratitude. Dus wat apostel James says, my brethren, my sisters, count it for joy when you fall, when you encounter various trials. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. And so the apostles write in our text chapter, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and patience hope, and hope may not ashamed, because. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Knowing that, that gives at times such a joy, such a longing, with this founded hope, this certain hope, then your heart will rejoice with an everlasting joy, although now not fully. The best is yet to come. Do you have that joy? Or have we forgotten? Therefore, before we close, I leave you with three considerations. First, if there are among us, and if it is you think you do not need this joy, you still think you can figure it out for yourself, or maybe you sit here and you think, that cannot be for me, this joy in the Lord, this joy of salvation, then this invitation comes to you, particularly also this morning. Don't continue to harden your hearts. You have heard his voice through his word. May I plead with you as an ambassador of this Christ who is your joy. Bow down, kneel before the Lord your Maker. Don't delay any longer. Why would the Lord grieve over you more? Come before him this day and worship him with joy. Don't delay. Secondly, many of us by grace may attend the Lord's table next week, Lord willing, when it is administered by your pastor in the midst of the congregation. But congregation, are we a joyful community? For Christ's sake. And then living in a sorrowful poverty? Are we a joyful community, a people that is inviting for those around us? Those around us here in the neighborhood that can see, and they are invited, come and see and taste and see that the Lord is good. That you testify He is our hope. He is our joy. And third, when you know by grace to live with this joy, those moments of true joy that lifts you up above all the circumstances of life. Really. It is like a road sign on the way home. Eh? God's word can be those signs to be an encouragement on the way, but it is not home yet. Let me give an example. When you are lost in the woods and you see a marker of direction, a road sign, it is a moment of surprise and it gives you hope and joy. The first time that you see a point of direction, there is this sense of joy. Look! But when you are on the road, you are passing under the road as you go on, you don't usually stop at those road signs and stare at them. You are on your way home. Road signs are but a taste of what is to come. And so when you are placed on the way of life, you are on your way home, your heavenly home. Road signs also this morning reminding you of the joy in God. Joy in Christ. A rejoicing of who God in Christ is for such one as you are. It is a taste of home. This joy, by grace, when you were persuaded, you embraced it. But we will not stop and stare, though it often has been done. And certainly we will not go back where you came from. It cannot be, because you have tasted heaven, heavenly joy. You confess to be strangers and pilgrims on earth. You declare to seek another country. And so, that these words also this morning, that the Lord left us, encourages us. Oh, be thankful to the Lord to have set up those road signs and remind us of this aspect of the Christian life, this reminder of joy, the joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They were given to us this morning on our way home. Home is when we don't sing with the psalmist anymore, save me, O God, for the waters have come into my soul. Home is when all suffering will be gone, when all anxiety and worry is over, when all the disappointments and discouragement are behind. Home is when we will see Him as He is. This longing as C.S. Lewis once wrote, I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong there. This is the land I have been looking and longing for all my life, though I never knew it until now. Oh, what a joyful day that will be. That joyful day of the which the prophet says, when the ransom of the Lord shall return and come. And that is certain, eh? To Zion with songs and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Do you long for it? As we conclude with the Bellevue Confession, the last article, to have this ardent desire for the last day, for His return, to enjoy His promises that are in Christ Jesus, this joy, with joy and gladness and sorrow and sighing, shall flee away. Oh, how great is His goodness, which He has laid up for you who fear Him. This longing to be in His presence is fullness of joy, now and forevermore. Amen. Congregation, let us sing in the response of that. 255, stanza 1. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise to the rock of our salvation. Loud hosannas let us raise. And what follows, 255, the first